these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Matthew 11:29, the Word of God says, and this is Jesus speaking, of course, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." This word meekness is, I think, one of the most misunderstood biblical words there is. It tends to have a connotation that is a modern connotation, but that doesn't apply to the Bible. Moses, we are told, was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Yet he was not a meek man in today's connotation. Moses was a man who was tough. This was a guy who was 80 years old, lived for 40 years already on the backside of the desert, went up, went to Pharaoh and says, "Let these guys go." Who's Moses? "Let them go." Right? That's what he said. "Let them go." And he says, no. And he just keeps insisting. And he's talking in the name of God, but he has a speech impediment. And it makes him a little nervous. I'm not saying he was a guy without his human frailties. But he was a guy who was not a sissy. He was not in any way cowering or cowardly. Moses was tough as nails. How else do you take 2 million Israelites who are a rowdy, unruly bunch, a lot of chiefs and very few Indians, if you will, as the saying goes, and even today this is what they say about themselves, right? That in Israel everybody wants to lead but nobody wants to follow, or so I'm told by people who live there. And this is a guy who takes 2 million of these types of people, and he takes them out to the Red Sea, where they start cursing him and murmuring, like just a few days after they got this miraculous deliverance out of Egypt. A few days later they start murmuring against Moses, "Did you bring us here to die? We were better off in Egypt, where we thought we were going to die, by the way." And so the Red Sea parts, they see these miracles, and then a few days later they're murmuring again. This was not an easy group. This was a tough group to deal with, and you had 2 million to 1. And even his brother, who was supposed to be the right-hand man, was a kind of cowardly guy, and built the people a calf, and said, "Okay, this is your God," when Moses went up on the mountain, and then they started worshipping the calf. And it didn't take very long. Moses wasn't up there all that long. He was just up there a month. And all of a sudden he gets back and the whole nation has changed. Joshua didn't have it to deal with them. Joshua didn't go up on the mountain. And Aaron was the high priest. That was rich. And this is who Moses is supposed to be leading. And the Bible says he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. His meekness was not in any kind of wimpiness, as today's connotation of meekness may portray, or cowering, or anything like that. Because he was very bold. His meekness was in gentleness. Meekness is a combination of humility and gentleness. And then it is also, along with it, is the idea of kindness. And so when the Savior is saying, "Take my yoke upon you because I am meek," he's saying, because I am gentle, because I am humble, and because I am kind, take my yoke upon you. We cannot say that the Lord would have been a wimpy guy, having hurled 500-pound stone tables across the temple. This was not a wimpy guy. He had no fear of anyone, and he had no fear of anything. But he was meek. He was gentle, and he was kind, and he was humble. And so we are told to take his yoke, learn of him, take his yoke upon us. Because when we approach him in any way, He will be kind and He will be humble and He will be gentle. Today we're going to continue in our series about the character of God. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about the gentleness of God. Because really the gentleness of God is that which I need in order to be a fruitful Christian. Without the gentleness of God, I am nowhere. Without the gentleness of God, I have nothing. The Word of God says in Psalm 18:35, Thou hast given me the shield of Your salvation, and Your right hand holds me up, has held me up, and Your gentleness has made me great. It is God's gentleness that leads to greatness. It is not God's severity. God's severity will lead to the great tribulation. That doesn't make people great. The tribulation will make no one great. What makes us great is God's gentleness. The fact that God is meek. The fact that when I come to Him, I am met with kindness and with patience and with gentleness. Do you understand the significance of this? There is no such thing as greatness apart from the gentleness of God. You may see people who puff themselves up. Sometimes they may be very successful businessmen or sometimes entertainers, which I can't see for the life of me why an entertainer would be puffed up. But they often are because they have fame and fortune. And sometimes you have politicians and the like, and sometimes other people as well, educated people sometimes. And they puff themselves up, but they think they are great, but they are not great apart from the gentleness of God. They say, I am something, but they will treat another person with disrespect or with unkindness, without consideration. They have no greatness in them. God does not treat me that way. When God says He is God, that He is Almighty, He is also all gentle. God's might is revealed in His gentleness. You take, for example, some of the great kings. At the peak of their greatness, they also frequently had great kindness. They also frequently had great compassion. The ones who were truly great. This is like God. He is a great king. And what makes God great in His essence is that He is profoundly gentle. So when I come to God, no matter what state that's in, when I come to God with my fears or my anxieties, my trepidation, my doubt, when I come to God in the state perhaps of failure or the state of maybe flirting with failure, God will often come to me, but He will not do it with harshness. He will do it with gentleness. His gentleness makes me great. The Word of God says in Romans 2:4 that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And that word goodness there is Christos, and it means gentle kindness. It is the gentle kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It is the recognition that God's sweetness and His love for them is greater and it's more fulfilling and satisfying than the thing that they have perhaps desired in their failure. Folks, don't ever become familiar with these concepts. These concepts are the foundation of your eternity. These concepts are how we get to know Him. And the extent to which we get to know Him will profoundly impact our state in eternity. Not our salvation, but our condition. It will be hugely impacted by, do we know the heart of God? Why is David going to be the prince of the millennium? Why is that? Because he had gentleness given to him by God. He knew the mercy of God. It's not because David was a great king. Hezekiah was a great king. Solomon was a great king. In the world there have been many of those. But it's because he knew the goodness and the mercy of God. Because he was the recipient and therefore the carrier of God's gentleness. This is what makes a man great. It's the fact that David knew the gentleness of God that promoted him in eternity to a place where he will be second to the Savior. And it will not be an angel. It will not be Michael or Gabriel, and it will not be a great anything. It will be the one who knew the gentleness of God the most profoundly. Never become familiar with the concept of the gentleness of God. Don't ever let it become trite to you. Because if it does, your heart will start to wander away from Him. God is profoundly gentle. In Hosea 11:4, the Word of God says, I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as one. Now listen to this. Picture this in your minds as you hear the Word. I was to them as one who lifts up and eases the yoke over their cheeks. There is a burden on their shoulders, and the burden is difficult to carry. And there is a great deal of exhaustion and perhaps pain under that burden. And God says He takes that burden, that yoke, and He lifts it up over their cheeks. He takes it and He lifts it over their head and He removes it from them. And then He goes one step farther and He says, and I bent down to them and gently laid food before them. I don't know, I'm not a farmer, but I don't imagine an ox can eat with a yoke on its neck. I don't imagine it could very easily get its neck down to the trough. And so God says, He takes whatever burdens we have. He takes whatever grief we have. He takes whatever pain, sorrow, anxiety, fear, frustration, whatever it is that we have that is burdening us, and He lifts it over our head and removes it from our shoulders. And then He gently lays down food for us to eat. In other words, then He gently starts to refresh us and strengthen us and quicken us. This is the gentleness of God. Apart from the gentleness of God, there is no greatness. Because I will forever be bogged down with my burden. And so, the gentleness of God is what makes a man great. What made people like Richard Wurmbrand the way that he was? In the midst of his suffering, he got to know the gentleness of God. What made his wife the way she was? Because in the midst of suffering, she got to know the gentleness of God. When God breaks a man, He does it with gentleness. It may not feel gentle to us at first because we offer resistance to the breaking. But in fact, when God breaks a man, He is profoundly kind in the process and He is sweet to us in our fear. The Word of God says in Psalm 103 in verse 13, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. In other words, the fact that something happens in my life does not make God angry with me. It brings out His compassion. The fact that Peter did not successfully stay on the water didn't bring God's anger toward him. It brought compassion. The fact that I may have anger or issues in my life does not bring God's anger toward me. It brings His compassion. How often does a person feel that to themselves, I blew it and now God's going to squash me? Don't raise your hands, but answer this in your own hearts. How many of you have ever come to church knowing that you had blown it in some way, that you have maybe fleshed out in some way, and now you're kind of half expecting that the message is going to squash you? God's gentleness makes you great. How often do you actually get edified instead of squashed? God's gentleness makes you great. In my natural thinking, I often see things according to the way that the world teaches. The world teaches an eye for an eye. Do well and you will receive well. Do poorly and you will receive poorly. Do that which pleases people and you will be commended. Do that which angers them and you will be punished. This is the world's way, but it is not the way of God. How does God answer when I make mistakes? He answers with compassion. How does God answer when I get anxious? He answers with compassion. How does God answer when I am fearful? He answers with compassion. God's heart is touched by the conditions that I am in. He understands the feelings of my infirmities, and He is touched by them. He is not angry that I have infirmities. He's touched by their feelings. And so God always responds to those who fear Him with compassion, not with harshness, not with anger, but with compassion. You see, God is profoundly gentle. And there will never be a time towards the believer where he will be anything other than profoundly gentle. The Word of God says in Isaiah 40 verse 11, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. Can you see this in your mind's eye? Can you picture this? He leads His flock like a shepherd. And He gathers the lambs with His arm. This is our Savior. This is our King. Our King is not one that we are afraid of, though we fear Him. Our King is one who is profoundly gentle. Our King is one who is a healing balm. He is our refreshment. He is the one that soothes our hearts. He is the one that bottles our tears. He is the one that has our tears spill out into the book of remembrance so that they will be remembered for all of eternity. Remember, the book of remembrance is not a pristine book. The book of remembrance is deeply stained. And it is stained with our experiences. Not our sins, those are not remembered, but with our sorrows. It is stained with our fears. Because He wanted those things to be remembered for all of eternity. God is profoundly gentle. The Word of God says in James 3:17 that wisdom from above is gentle. Why is God so gentle toward us? Because He is wise. Show me the wisest people, and I will show you people who've learned the gentleness of God. And even people who possess godly wisdom based on godly principles but may not be saved, that they that simply adhere to the godly principles that lead to wisdom One of their strongest characteristics is that these people are often very gentle. They are often very compassionate and very kind. It often amazes me the way that the world sometimes portrays corporation heads, you know, leaders of corporations. And sometimes it may be true, but how often, if you actually see a biography of these people or read about their lives a little bit, you learn that these people were very human. That they were actually often very kind people who had great understanding. I was reading one time about some corporation heads, and that which is really sought after by the leaders of great companies, you know, the mega corporations. Do you know what is the number one college major for corporation heads? English. Go figure. Why do you think that is? It's not business. It's English. The most successful corporation heads were English majors. Do you know why? Because they studied the human condition. They learned to relate to people. They studied why people are the way they are. In a very normal human, non-analytical, non-judgmental, but very normal human level. And they become very successful because they learn how to approach people. And they learn how to speak to people. And they know how to manage people. Do you know why? They've become gentle. They've become gentle. God is like that. God is profoundly gentle. The wisdom that is from above is first and foremost gentle. It is not harsh. God is not a bully in the sky with a bat. God is gentle. Satan would like to portray him as something different. But he's not. He said, "Come unto me, ye that are weary and heavy laden." Why? Because I am gentle and I am kind. And that's where you will find rest. Adam and Eve failed, and God was gentle with them. They violated God's definition that God was gentle towards them. And though the consequence was something they had chosen, and God could not violate that choice, God was still gentle with them. He pursued them, He clothed them, He gave them promises, He shed blood for them. He was gentle. Abraham goes into the world, into Egypt, gets afraid of the king because his wife is beautiful and says, "She is my sister." How gentle God was with Abraham and with Sarah both, because they had conspired in this. That God would speak to the king, and God was even gentle to that king. God spoke to that king, "This woman is another man's wife." And God was very gentle with those people. God gently corrected the error. Abraham took Hagar to be his wife. God was gentle with Hagar. God was gentle with Abraham. He was even gentle with Ishmael. When Hagar was out in the middle of the desert and she was at the well, she was weeping, and God met her there because He was gentle toward her. God is so profoundly gentle. Moses found the gentleness of God. This is why he was so meek. He found the gentleness of God after he killed the Egyptian. And what was the result of killing the Egyptian and running away in cowardice? God gave him a wife and a family. And God started teaching him in the backside of a desert. He gave him a father-in-law who was a wise man who could teach him the heart and the character of God, which he did not know because at the time he was not a believer. He had been invested in. And this was when he was not a believer. He found the gentleness of God. Lot chose poorly. Lot loved the world. Lot loved the ways of the world. And then as Lot enters into the world, there was a war in which the king of Sodom was involved, and there were several other kings who opposed him and the king of Gomorrah. And they took him captive, and they took his things, and they took his family. God didn't scourge him there. God brought it to Abraham's attention, and Abraham went with his men, and he rescued his wayward nephew. And then, not only did that happen, but after that, he's still in Sodom. And he starts to fall in love with the ways of Sodom. And he calls the Sodomites his brethren, and God sends the angels. And even then, the angels were not harsh. Even then, they could be convinced to even spend the night in this vile place because the man had asked them to. And then in the morning when he was resisting, they finally took his hand and the hand of his family, and they took him and they dragged him out of there. But that was in the gentleness of God. God dealt with him with the vileness of his condition with such gentleness. Samson was a man who forsook the ways of God because of women. Samson was the first one in the Bible to start dating, and he was the first one to experience the fruits of dating. And he started, his heart was led astray by strange women, which Israel was prohibited from pursuing. But Samson's heart was not right with God. And yet God treated him with such gentleness that even when terrible things happened to him because of his own poor decisions, God would use him to be the deliverer of the nation. That's profound gentleness. God did not quit on him. He did not leave him. He did not forsake him. He was gentle to him. Gideon was this little nowhere runt out of a nowhere runt tribe. He had zero confidence. He could not believe that God would want him. He could not believe that God could possibly use him. And God did. And when he wanted the security of at least the whole Israeli army behind him, God said, no, it's too many, as they were facing 250,000 enemy. And God says, no, it's too many. You see, Gideon, my gentleness will come through for you. God is so gentle. He didn't even believe the leading of God. He needed an outward sign. And so God provided it. Because he was gentle. David, then you could spend the next 3 years on David. Yet how gentle God was to him to give him Solomon. How gentle God was to him to preserve him in his kingdom. How gentle God was to him that he should have done all the things that he did and yet receive so much mercy. God was so profoundly gentle. Solomon fornicated on the roof of the temple, and then he wrote 3 inspired books. God was profoundly gentle to him. He completely restored this man, and he was gentle. One of the ones I think is the most powerful is Ahab. Ahab was the most wicked king that ever lived. History had not seen a man as evil as Ahab. Ahab was in the category of people like Hitler and Stalin, except to the extreme of that category. He was the most evil king that ever was. And yet, when he repented God was so gentle to him. He said, Ahab, the things that I had planned as a result of your wickedness will not come to you, and you will not see them happen. What profound gentleness that was. This man killed countless people just for the name of the Savior, and God was so gentle to him. Mary, what kind of a capacity could she possibly have to bear the Savior as a 16-year-old single girl? And yet an angel came and he spoke to her because he understood the needs of her heart. And then he gave her a covering so that there would be no shame for her or no danger because of the Israeli laws. And God covered her and He protected her. He didn't just say, Mary, do this. But He treated her with profound gentleness and kindness in the entire process from A to Z, all the way to the cross, where the Savior is on the cross, suffering and dying, and He still remembers Mary as He gives her John to take his place. What profound gentleness. Can you imagine being Joseph? You're betrothed to a 16-year-old young woman, and all of a sudden you find out she is pregnant, and you are, because you are an honorable man, you want to put her away quietly, but it is something that is quite unacceptable to you. And then God appears to him, and God leads him, and God says to him, "Don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid, Joseph," He said. What's going on here is from the Holy Spirit. What gentleness. God didn't rebuke him. God said, "Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit is doing this." God knew how to open Joseph's capacity. Peter denies the Savior. Peter doesn't even show up at the cross. Or at least nowhere is it recorded that he did. Peter goes fishing. Peter runs away. And what happens? When Jesus appeared, He said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter that I'll meet them in Galilee." He did not forget the need of Peter because He was gentle toward Peter. Paul was that mass murderer who loathed Christians with a passion. He hated them and wanted nothing except to see them dead. And then God's gentleness comes through for him. And he becomes the great apostle. Why did that happen to Paul? Because God's gentleness made him great. God's gentleness makes men great. That's what David, perhaps one of the greatest sinners of all times, who became the greatest king, learned of the Savior. That his gentleness makes men great. Amen.